From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Former Bosnian Serb General Ratko Mladic is refusing to enter pleas at this point for the war crimes charges he's facing. Terry Schultz reports Mladic became defiant during his arraignment hearing before an international tribunal in The Hague today.
The grayed, feeble-looking man who began the session pleading for patience with his slow responses seemed a far cry from the fearless and many say ruthless general charged with orchestrating the deaths and persecution of thousands of Bosnians.
I am a gravely ill man.
Mladic said he didn't want to hear any of the charges against him, but informed he had no choice, sat virtually expressionless as the 11 counts of war crimes were summarized. And then the old Mladic reappeared, demanding more than the allotted 30 days to prepare a plea on charges he suggested were a surprise to him.
For these monstrous words, the ones that I've never heard before.
But the judge gave Mladic only until July 4th to enter his plea. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz.
The Labor Department comes out with the latest look at employment in the U.S. when it releases numbers for May this morning. Mark Vittner, an economist with Wells Fargo Securities, says there are signs that hiring may be slowing down.
There's just not a whole lot of improvement in the job market. Businesses are very reluctant to hire. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world. But in the month of May, we were also dealing with some production cuts in the auto sector.
Vittner says he does not expect to see strong job growth until the housing market recovers, which he says could be at least a year down the road. President Obama will be highlighting the resurgence of the U.S. auto industry when he visits a Chrysler plant in Toledo, Ohio today. NPR Scott Horsley reports the president is expected to announce that Italian automaker Fiat will be buying the government's 6% stake in Chrysler.
Since the government stepped in to rescue Chrysler and General Motors 2 years ago, the U.S. auto industry has hired some 115,000 workers. The president's manufacturing advisor, Ron Blum, says the government's rescue didn't just save jobs at the automakers, but also at the parts suppliers and the surrounding businesses that depend on them.
These manufacturing companies play a central role in their communities. They are, if you will, oftentimes the anchor tenant.
Manufacturing has played a leading role in the nation's economic recovery. There are signs, though, that the pace of factory hiring may be slowing. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
Germany is reporting nearly 200 new cases of sickness from the E. coli outbreak in Europe. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says the outbreak poses no immediate threat to the U.S., but he says the government is monitoring the situation.
We have to constantly be vigilant, and I think we have to constantly look for ways to improve food safety. And that requires us to make sure that we're testing for the right things.
The Washington Post reports farmers in the U.S. are not required to test for the E. coli bacterium before food heads to supermarkets. This is NPR News from Washington. More residents of low-lying areas in South Dakota's capital and two other vulnerable communities have heated evacuation orders. Floodwaters from the Missouri River are threatening that region. Resident Terry Topol says he's hopeful that an emergency levee will minimize damage.
Just got to hope that the dike holds and everything else.
Work crews are adding more height to those levees today. A federal court has ruled that New York City can prevent churches from renting space in public schools for religious services. Beth Furtig of member station WNYC reports the ruling reverses an earlier decision.
Judges on the Second Circuit Court of Appeals found the city had good reason to worry about creating an excessive government entanglement with religion if churches use the schools on Sundays. The case involves a small evangelical church called the Bronx Household of Faith. The church first sued the city in 1995 when it was barred from holding Sunday services, but it went back to court and won after the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in 2001 that found a Bible group had the right to meet at a school in Milford, New York. The co-pastor of the Bronx Household of Faith, Robert Hall, says he will appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary. For NPR News, I'm Beth Furtig in New York.
14-year-old Sukanya Roy of Pennsylvania is the winner of this year's National Spelling Bee. The winning word?
Symmetricus. C-Y-M-O-T-R-I-C-H-O-U-S.
That is the right spelling of an obscure word relating to wavy hair. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.